Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
We just moved into our new church building in Wichita, and I sat down here in the front, and somebody had turned the gain up somebody played a keyboard, which is every sound man's nightmare since somebody plays with their board. And I stepped into the zone. When the gain was up on my microphone, it wasn't pretty. It was a screech that could have blown the windows out. It was that bad. And we had to reset after that a little bit, you know? So I'm thankful that didn't happen today. It's so good to be here. I thought about, I knew we were coming in and want to be here for Lisa and Scott and the family. And what a beautiful celebration of Peggy's life yesterday. And I know she'd been honored with all everything that was said and done. But that's the reward of what we get for walking with Jesus. Amen? Man, I'm going to tell you, there's this reward thing. And I don't know if I'm returning to my roots when I start. I've been preaching this vein about the church needs to be the church, not just fluffing by. You know what I mean? So my sermon title today is No Compromise, which I believe Tammy has got it all together for us. And the scriptures should come along. So no compromise, living a visible faith in a dark world. The world is getting darker, but the light still shines bright. Amen? Amen. Our Jesus is brighter than ever. Yeah. Our Jesus is coming back for us. Amen. And we have to realize as the church that we hold this key of authority that belongs to us. When Jesus said, and this was not up there, Matthew 28, I know you know it, go into the world, preach the gospel to all creation, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That means Jesus is with us all the time. All the power and authority that he had is inside of us. Amen? Amen. And we have to walk like that sometimes. So basically, there we go. First scripture today is going to be 2 Timothy 4:3, and all my references are out of the NLT today because that's what I use most of the time, unless I just find something I like a little bit better the way it says, but that's where I normally hang at. For time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound doctrine and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. There's a lot of that going on today. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is still the Word of God. It doesn't change. It is immovable. We don't change it to fill seats. Amen. Amen. We don't change it to make people feel good about themselves. It does. When conviction comes on your heart and it changes you, you feel good. Conviction is what does that for us. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to condemn us. Amen? He comes to convict us of our stuff so we walk right closer to Jesus. So a lot of people believe that appeasing evil will work today. Today I'm going to tell you, evil does not compromise. And neither should we. I believe it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature and reality of evil when we suffer under the illusion that evil can be reasoned with and agreements made with will be lived up to, then we are at the mercy of evil. We don't want to be at the mercy of evil. You know, in our world today, we're watching everything unfold in the Middle East. Pure evil. There's this thing called the Prince of Persia. Been around since the dawn of time. It's pure evil. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is bigger than evil. We have to understand when we recognize evil for what it is, then we have to begin to disarm it and are prepared to deal with it, we begin to live in a world of reality. Our reality is a Christian reality. Not an American Christian reality, not a European Christian reality, but a Jesus-based, centered, like the song said, point of reality. There was a time when we were bombarded by a one-sided view of God as an angry deity. I grew up like that. I grew up in a very denominational church where every sermon was hell and brimstone every Sunday. Every Sunday. And man, we kind of felt God was this mean, ugly guy sitting on the throne going, I hate you. You need to repent. That's what it felt like. I can remember one time we were in ninth grade, you know, ninth graders in church, you know how it was back in those days. Man, this movie came out called Jesus Christ Superstar. And our pastor got in the pulpit and goes, if you go see that movie, you're probably going to go to hell. I said, oh. Guess what all those teenagers did that Sunday night? We went and saw Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh, no. Don't tell me what I can't do and tell me why you're telling me not to do it. And that's a reality today. We need to tell people why we do what we do, because we love Jesus so much. They want them to see that. We want them to see the light. Just don't tell them no. Let them see the light. We believe God would throw people into open fires of hell. People complain about too much hell and fire and brimstone preaching. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon in 1741 called The Sinner in the Hand of an Angry God. And man, one time in our church, when we first moved to Wellington, I thought, I'm going to pull that out and read it. My gosh. You could have heard a pin drop. And people crying, people weeping. We're talking about something written 200 plus years ago. Because all he did was hit the point that was, Jesus loves you so much. He wants to save you from that eternity. That's what it was. And we as a church at large, we need to be preaching more about eternity and life. Amen. Many people have gone too far in the other direction, teaching that God is an all-loving, benign, supreme being that doesn't seem to have any opinions about the way we live. That is a lie. He cares about how we live. The assumption is that as long as we are true to ourselves, then it's okay with him. We like the qualities of God as love, forgiveness, and compassion, and the incredible fringe benefit of eternal life. On the other hand, we are appalled by a God of holiness who desperately loves us yet requires repentance as well as trust. That needs to be preached today. Repentance as well as trust. A God who promises to judge those who refuse to come to him on his terms. They're God's terms, not ours. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. It's through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the term. Others look at God like some kind of pagan deity who simply needs to be appeased. They think they can go through the religious rituals they have done for their part and can build up credit for sinning this week. God is not a pagan deity. You can't do enough in your religious ritual to earn that grace that comes through Jesus. Amen? Man, it just sounds like harshness, but it all comes back to grace again. Every time. That's what it's about. I remember when I was a kid, and I had some friends who went to a very large Saturday night mass, and obviously you knew where I was at. I remember we got to go to church tonight. Then after they go to mass, go out and get stoned and party and we feel good about it. That's not the way we do God, amen? But it was just the way we were taught. We didn't know anybody. We didn't have enough word inside of us to hold us to the place where God wanted us. When we start picking and choosing the things about God that appeal or do not appeal to us, we are not only diminishing our view of who God is, but also believing and teaching, listen to me, a false doctrine, a false gospel. The gospel is true. It came to set people free through Jesus. Too many pulpits in America offer weak, watered-down proclamations in the name of the gospel. We had some visitors show up at our church on Sunday and first asked to walk because they live in proximity to the church. And the person told me, oh, I went to their church over there, but they were crazy. So I thought, what is crazy? Defining the church is crazy because to me, growing, kind of got coming up in charismatic renewal, I thought we were kind of crazy. We were. I mean, some crazy stuff going on, but God was always faithful through it, beside ourselves sometimes, I think. They tell you there's forgiveness, but they don't tell you there's repentance. If you don't include those things, it's not the gospel. We cannot edit the gospel according to what we like and dislike. It's for us to share it as God gave it. Otherwise, we strip it of its power and effectiveness. We still want people to walk in freedom and liberty that comes with that relationship with Jesus. But we strip it of its effectiveness when we water it down. Everybody got a soda and a cup and it's full of ice and that ice melted and you want to take a drink of it later? Yeah, you got a resemblance of what may look like your soda. pretty proud of me. I said soda because in Wichita, in Kansas, it's called everything is called pop. We don't use the word soda. So, but you take that out and you're like, ugh, what happened to that? It got watered down. And we tend to do that sometimes with the gospel. Man, it takes care of itself. We don't have to help it. Amen? The idea is not to conform ourselves to the world's ways of thinking. It's to bend the, or it's not to bend the Bible to the culture, but change the culture to the Bible. When we start tampering with the essentials of our faith, such as the Bible, the gospel, and the nature of God himself, we are making God into a different image. You know what that's called? Idolatry. Idolatry. The very things that Scripture warns us against across the board. The God of the Bible does love us and accept us the way we are. But the God of the Bible wants us to change. He wants us to conform to the image of his Son. At this time, there's moral uncertainty. We know that. There's anxiety. There's loneliness and a spiritual blindness all around us. We need the light to shine. And it shines through us. Amen? And into that world, Jesus speaks a simple yet profound command, not a suggestion, not an option extra for the Christian, but a defining mark of discipleship. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, this is your calling. Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This verse sits within the Sermon on the Mount. We all know that. Where Jesus is describing what life in the kingdom of God looks like. Just before this, in Matthew 5:14, he declares these, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Huh. We all know the old songs about the light of the world. There was one from Godspell, which was happened to be one of my favorite musicals of all time. You're the light of the world, shine. Church, you're the light of the world, shine. Everybody knows the little song about this little light of mine. Everybody remember that one? I'm going to let it shine.
More.
No. But how many often are we hiding it under the bushel? Because sometimes fear keeps us from witnessing and telling the goodness of how good God is. People need to see your hope. Even if it's a little flicker, it's still the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? And to get this, notice he did not say, try to be the light. He said, you are the light. You are the light. He doesn't try. Don't give. You are the light. He's telling, what is here, what you have in you, is enough to tear hell apart.
Yeah. Come on.
And ours is to tear hell apart. Not give it a foothold, to lock the door, and keep it out and push it back. Amen? This is, listen to me, if you take one thing away today, I want you to get this. This is identity before activity. You have to identify with Jesus first.
Yes.
You have to identify. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my King. And you're coming back for me. Identify him in your life. Before you go out there and get activity, or you're going to be like those seven sons of Sceva and get your you-know-what kicked. Don't play with the devil if you're not armed to take him out. And we are armed because we have the word. We overcome. Amen? And with a little insight into what the Greek word says, where it says, let your good deeds shine. It means to radiate, to beam forth, to give off light continuously. That's what it means in the Greek. To radiate, to beam forth, to give off light continuously. And the word for good deeds in there meaning not merely morally good, but beautiful, attractive, and compelling. I like that. The Greek put it better than the English for sure. Not merely morally good, but beautiful, attractive, and compelling. What compels people to come to Jesus? Because they see him in you, amen? See him in me, see him in our actions, see him in what we do. See how we love people. See how we treat people that sometimes don't treat us so well. My dear friend Lauren Holtberg, who's my regional supervisor, he's the kindest, gentlest guy you'll ever meet in your life. I mean, makes me look very lame. He's the kindest, gentlest guy I've ever known in my life. We were talking one day a couple years ago about some people who left the church, and he said, "Well, Dave, you always got to leave the door open if they want to come back." I said, "What if I don't want to leave the door open? Because I'm mad." Everybody got that in your life? Somebody left your life, you're like, "Well, heck with them. I want you to know, as much as it hurts, Jesus still loves them." Doesn't mean you have to be best buddies, but Jesus still loves them. And now I'm at least leaving the door unlocked. I'll say that, okay? We learn as we go. But before I'd post the guard, I don't do that anymore. I'm kidding. But if you knew my son-in-law, you might not think so. My son-in-law is a retired Marine police officer, runs Quick Trip Security in Wichita, so he watches everything. I have to tell him sometimes, "Now, Ben, somebody comes in that back door, they may not look the way you think they should look. Be kind. Don't frisk them." Because he's just a mind, he's just always watching everything because he's that way. "I know, Dad, I know." But we still have to remind him every once in a while because the old thing kicks in. And I say that because our old thing kicks in sometimes. We walk in the newness and the freshness of life, and his mercies are new every morning. Amen. Live it. Breathe it. Preach it. God wants us to always be faithful. And when it says praise in that text, it says to glorify, to honor, to recognize the worth of God. What's the true worth of God in our lives today? What's our salvation mean to us today? What does the gift of community believe today? Man, this is a beautiful community at this church. Guys, I'm going to tell you, church, community is everything. People want to be part of. That's why gangs are so popular, because it makes people feel, kids feel like they belong to something. Let's make them part of a good gang, the church, amen?
Amen, that's right.
God can do it. Jesus is teaching us something vital. Our lives are meant to visibly reflect the glory of God in such a way that others are drawn to him. "I want what you got," that's paraphrased. Not to us, not to our reputation, but our Father in heaven. I want to unfold the truth in three parts. Now, I'm finally to the message. Here we go. That was my warm-up. Oh, no. We're not going to make it to lunch. Yeah, you will. I want to unfold three important truths. One, the source of light. Two, the visibility of light. Three, the purpose of light. And one, the source of light. Before we talk about shining, we must understand where the light comes from. John 8:12 says this, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because we will have the light that leads to life." You will have the light that leads to life. Got that part? You will have. Not just Pastor Lisa, not just Pastor Scott, but you will have the light that shines in the darkness. Amen? Churches aren't designed to be pulpit-centric. They're designed to be people-centric. When you do your part, this person does their part, it all comes together to glorify God. Amen? Jesus declares this during the Feast of Tabernacles. This was spoken, where massive lamps were lit up in Jerusalem. They lit Jerusalem up like an amusement park on a Friday night. He stands in that setting and says, "I am the light." So he's looking like, look at this light. I'm brighter than that. I'm brighter than your feast. I'm brighter than your religion. I am the one who will shine in the darkness for all eternity. And to get this too, we do not generate light, we reflect it. Yeah. It's never about us, ever, 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 ever. Always know that light inside of you shines bright. Like the moon reflects the sun, the believer reflects Christ. A mirror in a dark room produces no light, amen? But place it in front of the sun and suddenly it shines. Your life is that mirror that shines and reflects Jesus. Without Christ, darkness. Darkness with Christ, radiance. Radiant power that drives back darkness. And we go through life's challenges. We all have them. Of that, there is no question. But I'm telling you, that radiant light of Jesus is what carries us through. Amen? And the word light in that scripture is translated illumination, truth, revelation, and life. That light brings illumination to a dark place. It brings truth to a soul that's been held in captivity. It brings revelation of who Jesus is, and it brings life not only here, but life eternal. Amen. You cannot shine for Christ if you're not walking with Jesus. I know some people know the Bible so well, but their relationship with Jesus is like nada. They can quote scripture backward, forward in the Greek and Hebrew, but they don't have the revelation in their heart to set them free. So much head knowledge. Head knowledge will beat you up. And to beat people up, you're trying to beat up with it. We have to walk in love, man. Spiritual discipline, prayer, scripture, worship are not optional. They are positions in your life. I'm going to say that again. Scripture, worship are not optional. You need to be in the Word, and you need to worship Jesus. Amen? And worship God. Those, they're not options. They're positions in your light. In the light that shines through you. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Amen? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. You know, I heard that somewhere, and I can't remember who quoted it, or I would have given credit, but I don't remember who said it. But it's a great quote. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When Jesus becomes our greatest treasure, His light naturally shines through us all the time. You don't have to force it. It flows from a heart captivated by Jesus. Captivated by Jesus. Number two, the visibility of the light. Jesus said, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. This is public, visible, and undeniable. Church being church. When you guys do your food thing and people show up, what are you doing? Man, you're reaching a community. You're showing it hands and feet of Jesus kind of thing. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Public, visible, undeniable. That's how it is. Philippians 2:15 says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights into a world full of crooked and perverse people. I think we could be living in that place today. Paul is writing to a Roman county in a culture filled with pagan values and moral compromise when he writes this book in Philippians. Would you say our society is compromised today? Somebody tried to kill the president again last night. The only good thing about it being compromised is a greater place for the light to shine. Amen? Jesus wants to touch every heart, every individual with saving knowledge, and that's done through us. Our world is so jacked up. But man, Jesus is still on the throne, and the church is still the most powerful entity on this planet. Amen? We are. Don't compromise. Don't give in. Don't let that anxiety beat you. I'm going to tell you, God still got it. The word shining in that verse literally means to appear, to become visible, to be seen more clearly. Let your light shine bright. Our faith is not mere, meant to be hidden, not private, only Christianity. And so something you guys have here that we don't have in St. Louis, we don't have these 100, 150-year-old church buildings all over the city. And as we drive by them, I think, oh, I wonder what that church was like 50 years ago. Oh, I wonder what that church was like 100 years ago. Now most of them are boarded up and are condominiums. And I think about life in those places. And what was it like? We kind of cruised through Carnelet Park, and I drove down a wrong-way street the wrong way, I think, this morning. I'm not sure yet. Lisa didn't condemn me for it, so. But we just kind of cut through the park, and I was thinking, wow, what was life like here like 100 years ago in this park? You know, we're 100 years past when Pentecost hit this nation like a flame of fire. And I believe we need some of that flame of fire again, amen? Not Johnny Cash rings of fire, but Holy Ghost fire, amen? That convicts us of what we got going on so we can preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick. I still believe Scripture says lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I still believe we have a throne over demonic possession. Amen?
Yes.
I have to exercise that stuff. Imagine a lighthouse. It does not shout at the ships, "Hey, you, I'm shining over here." It doesn't shout at ships. It does not chase boats. That'd be a sight to see. It simply stands and shines and saves lives. That's what it does. All you do is see the light circle, and it tells them there's a point of safety. There's a point over there I don't need to go to. That's what that lighthouse is there for. That's what the Word does. Amen? God uses us as lighthouse in people's lives. That's our calling. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God." I've got this guy, I do some work at a nursing home in Whitewater. It's a little bit, it's about 30 miles north of Wichita. And there's this one guy, and I'm not going to say his name in case he might end up watching this. But when I first got there, this guy just plain didn't like me. Because his exact words, forgive me when I say this, "It's another damn chaplain." Well, I thought, this guy's had a bad experience. That's my first thought. I'm brilliant, you know? I'm going to win this guy over. That was my first thought. I said, this has now become my project for the week. It took more than a week. I just want to tell you that right now. But I started meeting with him and talking with him. I go up, pat him on the back, and I rub him on his shoulders and doing such a great job he was doing. And then he comes up to my office one day and he knocks on my door and says, "Dave, I need to explicit talk." And he came in and he goes, "Man, my life is screwed up. And man, I see something that I haven't seen in like other chaplains before here. And will you listen to me?" Well, of course, I go to fix it mode right away. Like, I want to fix it before I even know what's wrong. That's what I do. So I said, "Yeah, man, talk." And he just started talking and he started bawling in my office. And this guy, I'm big, and this guy's like two of me. Big CNA, he's huge. And he starts crying. He goes, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Here's what you need to do. You need a relationship with Jesus that's not taught, that you learned somewhere or that somebody gave you a bad program of. You need a real Jesus. It's real in your life." And in my office, that guy accepted Jesus as a Savior after that conversation. And now we're buddy buddies. He rubs my shoulders now. But man, you have the possibilities. Never even overlooked a possible appointment that God may have stuck right under your nose. Don't worry about somebody else taking care of it. Move. Take action. In our family, grace. In our workplace, integrity when others cut corners. In our family, grace when tensions rise. Online, truth without hatred. In hardship, hope without despair. Our life is the sermon people are reading. Amen? The church is to be a community that so embodies the gospel and it provokes questions from the world. When people drive by this church, I don't know how many cars drive by this church every day, but I bet it's a lot. Maybe go, what's going on in that place? They just had 10 years celebration. They've survived 10 years. Maybe there's something going on in there. Survive is a key word sometimes. You want people to, when you're in your workplace, you want people to see Jesus. When you're with your home and your extended family who's not what they could be. I always try to remember there's potential in everybody, amen? When we truly live differently, people will notice. When they notice, they will ask, And when they ask, we have the opportunity to point them to Jesus. Number three, the purpose of the light. Jesus makes it crystal clear so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven, or praise your heavenly Father. It's not about us. It's about God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made that light shine in our hearts so we know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." There have been times when I have stood at an altar and cried, or times I've sat in my office and cried, or times I've sat in my car and cried, just being thankful that God was there. Because we went through a rough run about a year ago. I mean, I thought, this show is over. That's where I was at in my life. Scott and Lisa know it, because best friends, you kind of keep in the loop so you can cry on their shoulder, or they can tell you, get your act together, Dave. That's what best friends can do for each other, amen? Yeah, but we went through a thing. It was just absolutely upside down, horrible. And I had so many people tell me it's time to get out. Wasn't feeling it. Felt the pressure of it. It would have been easier to walk away. But God showed his faithfulness through the whole ordeal. Amen? Amen. And brought us out the other side in a better place than we could ever been. The same God who spoke light into creation now speaks light into hearts. The word glory there means weight, splendor, or divine majesty. That's God's glory. The weight of God's glory. You hear him talk about it. Hebrews talk about it all the time. The weight of God's glory. That means that it's not a heavy weight. It's the weight of his presence in your life that gives you everything you need to have. That's what it means. In the Hebrew, it's not a heavy, like you. My son ran a 32-mile race yesterday. One idiot. I mean, my son, he's got this group called F3. It's a group of guys, fitness guys. They get up every morning at 5:30 in the morning, and they run together, and they run together, and they do stuff together. And 4 weeks ago, they carried these huge crosses for 12 miles, like oak crosses for 12 miles. But it's all about fellowship around the Word. And they ran 32 miles yesterday. Plus, he put a 35-pound weighted vest on top of his regular weight. I thought, oh, my gosh. You would have had to come get me. But not that kind of weight. It's that weight that lifts you up and encourages you and wraps you up like a little child wants to be held by their parent when they're sick or tired or sore. That's the way to God's glory. Not self-promotion, not spiritual performance, but God-glorified living in everything we do. A stained glass window is beautiful, but only when light passes through it. Otherwise, it's pretty dark and dull. Our new church building doesn't have any stained glass. Our old one did. It was beautiful. You know, when the sun shines through it, majestic. But that's what it does. God shines that light from heaven through our lives, and it shines through us. Amen? Your life, your tapestry, your mosaic, created by God piece by piece, like a piece of stained glass window. So when the light hits it this way, it may appear red to somebody over here or purple to somebody over here who needs to see red or purple. See what's shining through that light. It's reflecting through your life. Amen? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we do the good things he planned for us long ago." It's a whole sermon by itself. Our good works are not for salvation. They are for the evidence of our salvation. Amen? Can't buy your way in. God is faithful. Max Lucado said this, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." Transformation is not optional. It is not optional. When Jesus saves us, he changes us. That changes. Change becomes a testimony that points others to him. I remember one time many years ago, and I love to tell stories because the older I get, I tell more stories. Don't know what happens, but we are at a men's retreat. So we were all still at Life Christian Center, and we're at a men's retreat out at the, It was a Holiday Inn out in Hilltop, Eureka. I don't know if it's even still out there anymore. There's a big Holiday Inn out there, and I'm out in there, and we're having a men's retreat, and at the same time, there's some bikers that are having a retreat. What a clash. So me and this associate pastor, his name was Mike, we get this, and there's this jacuzzi. It's designed to hold 8, and there's 12 bikers in it. Wow. And I mean, bikers. Mike goes, let's go over there. I don't think so. He goes, no, come on, we're going to go in there. And I said, oh, no. My first thought was, what is he getting me into? So we go there, and he said, just squeeze your way in, Dave. Okay, there's already 12 in here, and there's only supposed to be 8. Now there's going to be 14. So we can hear and get the butt in. And Mike's over there, he's just smiling away. If you all know him, that's how he was. This is what he goes, hey guys, what's up? I mean, without taking a breath, he goes, I want you to all know Jesus loves you. And I'm really thinking, we are going to die in here. Well, it's like the lights went off and 11 of them left. They out of water, they went. Like cockroaches when the light came on. One guy stayed. And he sat there and he started crying, this big old biker crying. And I'm like, oh my. And this is what he said. That biker goes, nobody's told me that Jesus has loved me for over 40 years. 40 years. One divine appointment in a hot tub full of bikers. I say that this, don't miss your divine appointment. If you see a hot tub with 12 bikers in it, just add whatever scenario you want, guys. Use it. Amen? Don't miss the opportunity to use it. Let's be absolutely clear. You cannot shine if you've never been saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, we are sinners. Isaiah 59:20 says, sin separated us from the love of God. We cannot save ourselves, but God in his mercy sent his son. Amen. Jesus Christ lived a life we could not live. He died the death we deserved on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. He defeated sin. Amen. Defeated sin and death. He conquered death. He offered forgiveness and eternal life, and still does today. Jesus is alive and well on planet Earth. I am in this place in ministry where it's getting to the basics. Back to the basics. Getting instilled in our hearts so it's second nature to us. Just like that. We're trained to do things like this and that quick. Anybody here like baseball beside me? Anybody, baseball fans? I'm the only one. Okay. There's this thing called a 6-4-3 double play. That's shortstop, second base, first base. And when it's performed, it's a beautiful piece of artwork on a baseball diamond. But you just don't go and don't do it. You just don't know how to do it. It's one of those things you're trained to do it all the time. They do the drill when they're doing infield practice probably 10 to 12 times a day. Same infielders every day. Practice rolling that 6-4-3. Because you got to get the ball positioned in the right place so the second baseman can pivot and the first baseman can be positioned to receive the ball. That's the way we need to be in our lives, amen? We need a place where every day, man, we rehearse. Man, God, give me an opportunity today. Do you pray and wake up for opportunities in your life? I do. Sometimes I wish I wouldn't have. But I do. God, give me an opportunity today to shine Jesus today. Let people see Jesus today. Don't want to see Dave. Don't care if they see the center church. I want them to see you because that takes care of everything else. Amen? We need a basic so instilled in our heart that it's second nature. We all need to be able to tell someone how to come into a relationship with Jesus. Amen? It scares the heck out of people. We want people to know that it's pretty easy to do without breaking into a cold sweat. I remember they tried to teach us about evangelism, and it was like the hardest thing ever when we were kids because it made you nervous. The devil wanted to put you in fear of sharing the gospel. Well, you had to fear. You're giving life. Amen? Our call to action is this, and I'm starting to do this at our church, so you're getting some of it too. For believers, we have to abide in Jesus daily. Two, we need to stay in the light to shine the light. Amen. We need to live visibly for Jesus. We don't hide our faith. We need to practice intentional good works. Look for opportunities to reflect God. That's individually. For the church, we need to be a community that shines together. Let's be a light that torches, that's the wrong word. Right word is touches. You'll see why, in context, that word's important here. That touches those in our scope of influence and doesn't torch them. We all need to know how to tell somebody how to come to Jesus. Oh, let me go get pastor. You don't need pastor.
That's right.
We all need to know how to tell somebody how to get to Jesus. It's so very simple. When somebody needs Jesus, they need to know they don't have to leave in darkness. They can come to the light. And they can pray that very simple prayer. We all know the sinner's prayer, but I don't know why it messes with people so bad. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive me. Save me. Be my Lord. Fill me with your light. Amen. That's it. Save me. Set me free. I think we've missed a lot of opportunity by overplaying it. And in conclusion, see, I did that pretty good. I got those 3 points in pretty quick. Go get you out of here on time. Whatever that means. Who knows? We are not called to blend in, church. We're called to stand out. Not with arrogance, but with holiness. Not with pride, but with love. Not for yourself, but for the glory of God. Amen? Everybody stand up on your feet with me. Do we have another song that I hear? We don't? Okay, we're good. Okay. Well, we're all right, I think so. Yeah, I want you all to know today, what a privilege to be with you, as always. I don't get to only see my friends, who we love so much, but I get to be with you guys. The extended family, amen? And I always like to close with a little blessing, so here it comes. May the Lord fill you with his light. May Jesus shine through your life. May your words, your actions, your character reflect Jesus so clearly that others see him and glorify your Father in heaven. Go and shine for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You got anything else? You're all dismissed.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.